6 p.m. Okay, before anything, let's pray to the Lord. Okay. God, I thank you for tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, that you're here. God, I pray, Lord, that you move me aside and you speak through me tonight, and this message goes to whomever may need it tonight. Everybody say it. Amen. Amen. What is up to our indoor, our outdoor, and our online? I always point out every time I speak, the podium is majority of my size. But we're gonna move on. We're gonna power through. My name is Kayla, and I have the privilege of being our VUE Kids pastor. Who serves in Kids Church? Who serves in Kids Church? There we go, my three people in the middle. Yes, thanks guys, I appreciate you. And whoever may be outside or online, all I'm saying, VUE Kids is the best. VUE Kids is the bomb.com. But yes, I have the privilege of being our VUE Kids pastor. I've also been in this church for 13 years. So I've been here since the beginning. Only a few people get the reference. And yeah, so we are speaking about under pressure. This is the message we've been speaking about the last couple of weeks. If you didn't hear our founding pastor, Pastor Graham, preached this morning, a phenomenal message. So I would encourage you guys to jump online so you guys can watch it. Yeah, so he spoke about comparison, and this week is our first week about fighting back. So we've been speaking about our identity, and then we spoke about all the ways that pressure, like the different pressures we feel, social media, family, friends, marriage, kids, comparison, the rest of them, and all the things we can feel pressure from. And I was thinking about, now I'm speaking about kind of what are our fighting tools. And when I spoke to Pastor Leanne, and before, I'm going to do a cut. Can we just honor Pastor Andre and Pastor Leanne just before anything? I just want to honor them from a perspective of the next generation. I have never met pastors who have such a heart for the next generation. The fact that there aren't a lot of churches that have a VUE Rep program, a junior youth. So we have a VUE Kids program, which is age 2 to 12. We've got a VUE Rep program on a Friday night, it's 10 to 12. And we have VUE City 13 to 18. We are catering for every kid in every season. And it's just incredible to see. And I think anyone who's in any one of those programs can see that our next generation is thriving, and that comes from the top. So I just want to really be appreciative of our lead pastors, who are just the most awesome people ever. So again, as I was saying, I was speaking to Pastor Leanne, and we were chatting about, so this week is all about putting God first. And I was like, cool. How do you do that practically? How do you actually put God first? And when I started thinking about it, I just got the word rooted, staying rooted. And I will go more into it later, but for me to stay rooted in this house, I had to sacrifice a lot. It's been very, very, very much worth it, but I'll get into that now. So basically, I'm speaking about staying rooted and how we need to stay rooted in you, me, and we. And you guys are like, what? Staying rooted in you, me, and we, okay? Staying rooted in you, in God, staying rooted in me, in who God has made you, and staying rooted in we, the church. And that is how we fight back. That is how we fight back any pressure that maybe some pressure sometimes God puts on us to grow and to go into our next season, our bigger jacket, and sometimes pressure that the enemy comes from and he tries to chuck at us. And this is how I've personally grown, and this is how I'm hoping, praise Jesus, I can give you guys tools to grow. But before we get into that, we have got a common funny thing at church where before we preach, we always do a funny story, just so that the there's no power dynamic, everyone's on the same playing field. And how I, there's a story, and if anyone's driven with me, Okay, Kaya, that was a bit loud. I'm not a bad driver. Let me just preface that before we continue. And I'm going to tell you guys about getting my learners and my drivers. And the reason I'm saying is how I genuinely had to put God first, because I was not a good driver. Anyone else was bad drivers? I'm better now, but anyone else struggled? Thank you, Deesa. Thank you for being the only one who put up your hand. I've driven home half the youth after VUE City, after 6 p.m. So at this point, everyone's just like coming along for the ride. But anyway, long story short, I failed my first learners by a couple. And then I was so nervous and I was so angry that I failed. And then I couldn't find my mom. She, my mom's are there. Shout out to my mom. She was literally just parked around the corner. And I'm sitting there. I'm like, she left me. And I'm almost in tears because I failed. And I'm waiting. And by the time I find her, I'm like, I failed. And I'm crying. I'm like, okay, I'm 17. I was just a mess. And mom's like, okay. Like, you're fine. Carry on. Then I get my learners. I go a second time. I get my learners. The driver's part is where it gets really sad. So I really struggled to drive. I only was able to drive when I had my lessons. And then, yeah, so I did my first driving test. And my instructor at the time took me to a practice lot before we even got to the actual test. Did I not stall every time I started the car? And I just started hyperventilating and freaking out. And I'm like, I can't do this. He's like, maybe you can't. I'm like, you're not supposed to say that. You're supposed to hype me up. And he was like, okay, maybe it's not a good idea. And I was like, maybe it's not a good idea. So I didn't even do my test. So I basically failed the first one by not even going. Then I got so scared about the whole situation that I procrastinated for months. Preface, I also didn't even drive during those months. So it was just a whole mess. Then I did my second try. Okay, we got a new instructor. I'm motivated. I'm ready. Life's good. I'm doing my test. If you've ever done a driving test recently, you have to do the checks. I can't tell you what they are. It was a couple of years ago. You do the checks, and then the first thing you do is parking. And the first parking you do is alley docking, which is reverse parking, okay? So there's different places you have to lock the wheel in a certain cone. So I lock too early, which I was going to hit a cone that's automatic fail. So like, you can go out. You get two chances. You can go out. I'm like, dope. Okay, cool. Do I not do it again? Same lock space and roll the car. Automatic fail. I failed within the first 5 minutes. Guys, you're not getting the pain that was. In the first 5 minutes, I failed. And I was like, I got this. Third time's a charm. Yeah. Third time's a charm. I went. I was like, I'm ready. And I was doing the driver's test. And to say, there's only three reasons I passed. One being, I put God first because Lord knows I needed him. Second being, I remember they were going off early that day. They were going off at 12, and I think everyone's in a good mood. So I'm not saying, I don't know if I passed because I was good, but I passed. And third being, I kept on like, you know, like you drive past and you have to look, and I don't know how they expect you to do all of this, and you have to look and everything. And I kept on saying, oh, I was supposed to do that. So I think it looked like I knew what I was supposed to do. I just wasn't good at doing it. And then he's like, okay, come with me after the test. And I'm walking, never prayed so hard in life in tongues, never. I was like, like all the way. And I sat down, he goes, you pass. And I'm like, I still didn't know how to drive. That was a whole other thing. But that's just, so now we're on a level playing field, a little bit easier now. So this was 4 years ago. I promise I can drive. Okay, I don't need the negativity. I don't need the negativity, but that's a small thing of how, such a practical way. I genuinely had to put God first because I could not drive. And so that my first point being staying rooted in God, that is my first point. And that is how I fought back in different situations, and that's how you can fight back, is staying rooted in who God is. Not who you are in this instance, it's who God is. He's our provider, he's our protector, he's our father. And sometimes people always ask me, like, especially in a season like this, COVID being obviously the biggest one, people who are hungry, people who are homeless, even us in this room, we're all going through things right now. And people are like, okay, how can you be Christian in this time? I'm like, I can't give you the answer. Don't know the answer, but I know who my God is. And I think when you have that perspective of like, sometimes you don't have the answers and that's okay. A lot of the answers are in God's word. So first go in there. But sometimes you won't have the answer, especially in today's world when there is so much going on. Being a parent, trying to raise kids in a world like this. Being a kid in a world like this. Being a teenager. The list can go on and on. And I really want to encourage you guys with that, is that even when you're not 100% sure what is your next step, you don't know what to do, when you stay rooted in God, you're like, I have no idea what my next step is. I have no idea what is in the future, but I know who my God is. I know it helped me a lot, and hopefully it will help you. And this Under Pressure series kind of all started with, we were all chatting as a staff, and we're chatting about the book of Daniel. So in my 3 points, I'm gonna be chatting about 3 parts of the book of Daniel. And the first one being, Daniel in the lion's den. And I'm sure we all, who's familiar with Daniel and the lion's den? I think everyone's, if you've ever been to kids' church, you're like familiar with that story. And basically Daniel's like, nah, I'm not gonna go to your God, I wanna go to my God. I'm obviously heavily paraphrasing. And basically he was like, I'm not gonna worship your God. And the king was like, no, that's not okay. Basically their solution to that story was throwing him in a lion's den. Don't know, it was a funny time. And basically we pick up from Daniel 6 verse 16. So the king gave the order and they brought Daniel and threw him into a lion's den. The king said to Daniel, may your God whom you serve continually rescue you. And I thought about it when I first read that scripture, I'm like, oh dang, poor Daniel, that's like a rough place to be. And then I thought about it, say we take it to the context of today. What is your lion's den? Maybe you're really struggling in your marriage. Maybe you're really struggling with one of your teachers at school. Maybe you're really struggling in your relationship with God. That is one thing that I struggled with throughout, and I still do. I struggle to sit down and actually focus and do a proper quiet time. Like I'll have like a week's on good days, and then like one day I wake up late and then everything goes down. Am I the only one? Okay, cool, thank you, awesome, love that. And you might have a lion's den. You might be like, God, I don't know what to do. There's this lion, maybe be your boss at work, maybe be a school bully. Andre's like, dang. Andre's laughing because he is our boss. And I love that last part where it says, may your God who you serve, that's it. May your God who you serve continually rescue you. And I love that in perspective of us, Daniel. The lion's coming towards us, and it's like, and the lion and the king at the time even knew he had to threaten David. He had to be like, yeah, if your God can save you, because he knew he could. He knew he could. And if you continue in verse 20, it says, when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you continually serve, there it comes up again, been able to rescue you from the lions? Go to verse 21. Daniel answered, may the king live forever. My God sent his angel to shut the mouth of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have they ever done any wrong to you, your majesty. How amazing is that? God literally sent an angel to shut a mouth of a lion. And you guys are, like, again, we talk about the preface of your lion den. And you're like, oh, my boss is doing this. Oh, my mom is doing this. Oh, whatever, you know, the list can go on and on. But have you even had a simple prayer? If God can do it for Daniel, he can do it for me. And sometimes people just need to shut their mouths. So I want to encourage you guys, have you put your moment, whatever in that lion's head, your lion, have you asked God, go shut that lion's mouth? Have you put it in God's hands? And sometimes we so easily, I'm definitely one of them, so quick to complain, are we quick to pray? Because that's the change around. And at Kids Church, we do a simple thing of, we say PSP. We pray, scripture, prayer. And I'm doing Kids Church style because sometimes I think adults and kids, same WhatsApp group. It is. And I always remember for someone like me who struggles with quiet times, and I struggle to connect with God, like in a corporate setting, I'm like, yeah. And in my bedroom, I'm like, yeah. Like I can feel awkward. And we did PSP for our kids in the beginning of the year. And when I was writing it with Lou and Subs, and I just realized actually how good it was even just to break it down, make it simple. Prayer, scripture, praise. In your quiet time, start with the beginning. And you can build onto that. 5 minutes of prayer. Write down what you're going to pray about. Write about your lion. Scripture. Maybe go on a plan for you version, or maybe find scriptures, or go over the scriptures that maybe were preached in the past sermon, and then praise. Though I'm very extroverted, I am very awkward in my room, but I'm actively trying to worship in my room and actually make it like, because that's where the change happens. Not corporate prayer, like that is what we do as a church, but the change happens in private praise, in private worship. And I want to encourage you guys, put on a worship, like, and it's not enough. I used to do it on the way to work, but I'm like, I want to be able to get on my knees and just sing to God and pray to God and to take that step. So I really want to encourage you guys, PSP, I know it's simple, but it works. So that is one defense of how we can fight against being under pressure, is staying rooted in God. And Pastor Leanne always says, it's either provision or it's protection. Either God will provide for it, but if you close that door, he's protecting you. So the second point, and it links heavily to the first point, is staying rooted in yourself, who God has made you, and his promises for his plans for you. And the reason I say this, and I think sometimes we don't do it enough, is that it's okay to pray for yourself. You're not being selfish. You need to pray for yourself. You need to pray if you're struggling in places, or even if you're having a great life, living your best life, still pray. And so we're going to go to another story in Daniel. Daniel 3. It's about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Again, classic story at Kids Church. We've probably done this every holiday club for forever. And this is a fantastic story. And it goes from Daniel 3, verse 16 to 17. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. So basically, King Nebuchadnezzar was like, you need to worship a gold statue. Again, weird times. And again, they said, we don't need to defend you in this matter. Verse 17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God who we serve will be able to deliver us. But this is the part that I was like, I don't think I read it before, but I don't think I got it. Where it's like, but even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, we will not serve your gods or worship an image made of gold that you have set up. Sometimes your plan is not God's plan. And we can be very prideful and be like, no, I need to do this job, or no, this is the boyfriend or girlfriend that God has for me, but you find them in a club down at beachfront. I'm just saying, literally, I don't know why I said that, but we're gonna move on. Sorry. Again, it goes to the provisional protection. Sometimes God is gonna close doors and we need to be okay with that, but we need to also be expecting, what is God gonna do? Because when he closed the door, he opens up a massive two-decker door. I don't know if that's a two-decker door's a thing. But the reason I wanted to do the point of being rooted in who you are, God has made you exactly the way you are. And something I've always really struggled with, a lot of struggling in my life apparently, is being bossy. I was told all the time, you're so bossy. I'm like, I don't know what to say to that. And only in year to serve, only when I was 19, I realized, and I'm not gonna lie, there's definitely times where I was bossy, but it was misguided leadership. I had leadership on my life. I'm not gonna lie, I definitely misguided on my part, but I had leadership on my life. Only when I did growth track, I realized, okay, so it's not that I'm bossy, that I'm assertive, and I definitely need to guide it, and I need the right leaders to help me guide it. And I wanna encourage you guys, even the parts maybe you don't like about yourself, God has placed that for a reason. I can't tell you why. I am very stubborn. I can be prideful. And there's definitely our attitudes and our behaviors that we need to work on so we can be more like Jesus. But it's also things where the root and core of it, maybe being a little bossy, it's actually the leadership that God has given me that I need to actually work on and grow and have the right leaders around me. So I want to encourage you guys, don't be ashamed of who you are. And I'm also talking more of a personality perspective, but don't be ashamed of who God has made you, because he's made you exactly how he wanted you to be made. And that's going into growth track. If you've never done growth track, I have done it many a time, and I absolutely love it because it's a section in Growth Track, our spiritual gifts assessment, and it's phenomenal. Basically, you answer a bunch of questions, but you kind of get an idea of what are your spiritual gifts that God has given you. And it gave me so much clarity and understanding. And anyone who's close to me will see this in my life. So my spiritual gifts are, again, leadership, helping, exhortation, which is encouragement, service. And anyone who's around me will see that in my life. So I want to encourage you guys, if you're kind of not really sure what your next step is, maybe in the church or maybe in general life, join us at Growth Track, not this Tuesday, the following Tuesday, and hopefully we can help you and guide you to get where God is calling you to do. But I really want to encourage you with that, and with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew who God had called them to be. And that's why point one and point two are closely linked, but they knew they had to stay rooted in God. They had to stay rooted in God, who God called them to be, even if it meant they had to die in a fiery furnace. And if you don't know the story, it was incredible. They walked out with not even a singed hair. God had completely protected them. All I'm saying, common themes, got Daniel in the lion's den, the boys in the fiery furnace, same themes. And last point being staying rooted in the we, in church. And this is probably the point that I want to focus on the most, because it's probably the one that I've had to push into the most personally. So that is staying in community. So number one being, you have to stay rooted in God. You have to stay rooted in God, who God has made you. You have to stay rooted in the church. Watching online once a week, but having no community, not being in view group, and then you wonder why you feel alone. And I'm not saying if you're in a view group, you're not gonna still have moments of loneliness, but I know that if you're in a view group, or even just have community, you'll be able to message, maybe you're at work and you're having a panic attack, guys, please pray for me. People will drop their phone, or as soon as they see that message, they'll pray for you. It's having, like CJ said, it's having a group of people who you can do life with. And then we're gonna go into the last story of Daniel. It's Daniel 1 verse 17, where basically Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went to Babylon. And the king at that time wanted them to stop their Jewish way, stop eating in the Jewish customs, stop doing all of that. And basically they said no. They're gonna eat their fruit, they're gonna eat their veg, they're gonna eat how God has called them to eat. And they had community, they stuck together. Then it says in Daniel 1 verse 17, to these four young men who God gave knowledge and understanding, all kinds of literature and learning, and Daniel could now understand vision and dreams of all kinds. And this is just obviously a part of the whole section of chapter one. But the lesson I personally got out of this is that though that time wasn't easy, I'm sure everyone was going, just have some meat. Like, God will understand. But they had each other. They had the four of them who could say, keep each other committed, keep each other accountable, keep each other like, you're okay, we got this. And from that season, they got stronger, they got better. And actually it set up Daniel to interpret dreams and visions for the king, and actually set him up for Daniel in the lion's den, the fiery furnace, and so many more things in the book of Daniel. I want to encourage you guys to read it. It's a phenomenal book. You need community around you, because there will be pressure. There's always going to be pressure. It's always going to happen. But having community around you will give you the perspective you need and give you the help you need. I've got a phenomenal view group of young women, and we did Freedom this past year. It was 12 weeks turned into 12 months with COVID, but we finished. And being able to chat to young women and be like, oh, is this what X, Y, and Z means? Oh, is that how you do this? And actually being able to speak to like-minded young people and in any view group, of any age, you've got a view group for anyone in any season, and be able to ask questions. Because sometimes, obviously at church, you're picking up the kids and you're running home, and maybe you want to go put on a Sunday lunch, and maybe you can't always have all the connection you want, but the proper connection happens in a view group during the week. But also happens over coffee dates. And also connection with especially if you're a young person, get a mentor. I'm just saying that because my mentor is sitting right over there. Hashtag Louise Berry. I thought I'd just shout that out. Get people around you who can give you wisdom and help. And the reason I want to say specifically point onto the church is because I'm going to share a very personal testimony right now. It's not going to be funny. It's more going to be a little crazy about how staying rooted in this church, I don't even know what the right word to be, but it kept me where God needed me to be. So let's go all the way to the beginning. So I grew up, my mom, my dad, living my best life, but I didn't go to church. I personally knew about God. My mom and dad spoke to me about God, and they, you know, you pray before you eat, you pray before you go to bed, but that was pretty much it. And then my dad died. Best life. It's been 13 years, guys. We're good. You can laugh. It's not awkward. Thank you. I'm sorry. Sometimes I get really awkward talking about it. And it was super weird. Like, we, unfortunately, during that time, we lost our house, we lost our cars, we lost the majority of our stuff. And it was literally, to say our world was flipped upside down, it was literally. But in that season, now looking back, I could just see God throughout that whole time. Because 2 months later, one of my mom's good friends came and he brought his daughter and we clicked, we chatted, it was amazing. Guess where she brought me? B-Rep. 13 years, I'm still here and I have not left. I remember walking into that kids' hall. Back then it was just grass, it was 2008, it was a simpler time. Grass, we had a little fence, you know, we saw the green doors. I remember walking into that kids' hall and I was like, I never want to leave this place. I didn't know what it was. Now I know it was the Holy Spirit. But back then, I'm just like, the atmosphere, the music, the leaders, it's a vibe. And I was like, I never want to leave this place. And I haven't. Thank you, Jesus. And I started going to kids' church. I started getting to View City. I was at the first View City back in 2012. That's how long I've been here. And I've been, you know, part of the church. And then we go to 2018, where everything kind of went, I wouldn't say downhill, but we had a bit of a speed wobble. So I had a good group of friends, about 11 or 12 of us, and we were great friends. We did View City together. We were in the worship team. It was awesome. And there was frustrations. You know, the guys didn't like how some things were done. And instead of us being proper people, just going to have a conversation and just sorting it out, we started to chat and we were venting. Venting turned to gossip. Gossip turned to talking badly about the church and our leadership. I've spoken to Andre and Leanne. We all know about this. I'm being real with you guys. And it was actually a very bad time. I'll be real with you guys. Still, be it us all being on platform, leading, all that kind of stuff. So if you're on friendship groups, you start gossiping, all I'm saying, use me as a testimony and just go speak to people, because offense will take you out of your calling, all I'm saying. And to continue, it got to a point where a lot of them wanted to leave. Thank you, Jesus. A lot of us who stayed and stayed rooted are plugged into the church, growing the church. Thank you, Jesus. But there were a good handful of them who wanted to leave. And at that point, now I'm going to tell you why it was such a difficult, under pressure time for me. Because at that point was the exact moment Andre and Leanne asked me to be on Kids Church. And I was like, okay. And when you're 20, because I was 20 at that point, your friends are your family. So my family was going one way, my calling was going the other. And I was like, I don't know where to go. Also, funny enough, the day Andre and Leanne spoke to me is the day I started a new au pairing job. So there's a lot of emotions, a lot of pressure. And those couple months were not easy at all. And I had to have a hard look at what I wanted to do. And now looking back at this, looking at staying rooted in God, in me and the church. Okay, what did I want to do? Staying rooted in God. I want a growing relationship with God. I want to love Him more and grow Him more. If I follow my family, would that work? I don't know, if I follow the church. Yeah, okay, cool. Then second one, staying rooted in who I am. Because God had told me before this, even when I was in high school, you're going to be in ministry. I didn't know what the timeline looked, but I knew He called me to ministry. I'm like, okay, if I follow them, will I be in ministry? I don't know. If I follow God and follow the church, okay, sounds good. Then the last one, I want to be here. This is my home. like, there's no if or but. This is my home. I want to be here. Like, this is my house. I want to grow this house. Video table use my family. If I follow them, I don't know. If I follow here, yeah. By the time I got to all those points, it was easy. I love you guys. I'm praying for you guys, but I'm going to go this way. I'm going to go to my calling. I'm going to go to where God's calling me to. I'm going to go to the house. And that is a simple illustration. Now we're obviously 2 years past, and they're on their own journeys. But I'll be real with you guys. A lot of them, where they were going in their calling, they've derailed and they're doing their own thing. And I'm praying for them. I'd never speak ill of anybody. I do not regret that one. And I'm not going to say it was an easy time in my life. I do not regret that time in my life at all, because it prepared me for this exact time. I learned lessons that grew me and helped me, and even Pastor Andre, Pastor Anne sat with me and guided me through a difficult season. Staying rooted in the church saved me, because I could have left with them. I have no idea what I would have been doing. Honestly, I can't tell you. Sometimes I wonder, okay, if I wasn't studying theology, if I wasn't a kitchen pastor, what would I be doing? I'm like, I'll be doing something, but I know I'd be serving. I know I'd be in the house. So I want to encourage you guys right now, and I know I'm pushing a lot on this point because this point really hits home to me. How you can fight your pressure, whatever your pressure may be, stay rooted in God's house. When you're writing your finals for exams, don't stop coming to church, because trust me, it's going to get very hard to get back into that rhythm. When kids come, or maybe your marriage is hard, whatever season you're in, don't stop coming to church. Because the church gives you the perspective. Every time I get worried about this country and I'm like, oh, I don't know about South Africa. Andre or Leanne comes up, we're going to pray for South Africa. We're going to dream for South Africa. And I'm like, why am I worrying? Why am I even thinking about these things? Because South Africa's got a future. And I personally believe it. But even when I see my leadership do it, I'm like, ain't no worries. South Africa's on a high track. So I really want to encourage you guys, especially with these 3 points. And I know I tried to push for the last one, but really the last one kept me grounded. Whatever pressure you're in, whatever it may be, whatever season, whatever may come, staying rooted in God, knowing that He will be there, His will be done, whatever it may be, staying rooted in who God's made you, His calling for you, and then staying rooted in the church. Whatever pressure, whatever may come, you know you're going to be there, because pressure will either break you or it will make you. And there's going to be good pressure, pressure that will force you to go into bigger jackets, force you to go into new seasons, but there's also going to be pressure that's going to hurt you, and you're going to break, and you're going to feel, and maybe in that season right now, I'm broken, I don't know what to do. New wine into new wineskins. God gives you new clay. God can make you whole again. But sometimes pressure can be too much. And that's where community comes in. That's where God comes in, and so forth and so on. And when I was prepping last night, just an image came to me was, so to make sure I get it right. Thank God up, be grateful within, serve out. That's how I remember it now, is thank God up, thank Him. Even for maybe you're not sure if you're going to make rent. Maybe you're not sure if you're going to pay your kids' school fees. Maybe you're not sure how you're going to pay for uni next year. But thank Him that His will be done. Be grateful for who God's made you, for the calling He has in your life. And serve outwardly. Don't let all of what God's working in you stay here. Serve. Serve in next gen, serve in production, serve in worship, serve in frontline, serve in salt, serve in coffee bar. The list can go on and on. And while I'm coming to a close now, these are just 3 things that have helped me fight my battles, and especially through my 23 years, one of my most difficult seasons. Just staying rooted. Ball of sail fails, stay rooted. Stay rooted in God. Stay rooted in who you are and stay rooted in the house, because it will always give you perspective and it will always help you. So I'm going to pray right now. And maybe if you guys are one of those people who are maybe a little broken, you don't know, like, you don't know what the next season holds. You don't even know if you're going to make rent. I'm saying rent a lot because my mom and I moved recently, and now it's become a very big reality in my life. I'm going to pray, and I always encourage the kids at Kids Church because I want them to get into a culture of prayer. I want you guys to pray outwardly. Actually, if you are struggling with something personally, put it at God's altar tonight. Give him thanks for that he will get you through the seasons. I'm going to pray on the mic, but I want to encourage you guys, like I said, be a little selfish. Or maybe be a little selfish for your family. Be a little selfish for your work. Pray for your boss if you clearly think they are struggling. So I'm going to pray right now, and I want to hear everyone praying. I want to hear you guys giving your prayers to God. Can we pray together as a family? Outside, online, everybody, come on, let's pray. God, I thank you for tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, that every prayer that's being lifted up to you right now, that you will help it, you will guide it, God, that your will be done in Jesus' name, God. I thank you, Lord, that we will stay rooted in you, rooted in what you've, who you've made us, God, and rooted in the house in Jesus' name, amen. And then last little prayer. I've been talking about this God fella, and you might not know who I'm talking about. He is the most incredible person you will ever meet. All I'm saying, that's just putting that before anything. And again, I'm going to do Kids Church styles because sometimes it's a little bit easier. When Jesus died, a 33-year-old man, physical man, when he died, he was a little scared, but he knew he was rooted in God, rooted in who, what his calling was, and rooted in the church. And when he died, he thought of you. And you guys probably hear that a lot. He thought of you. He thought of your worst of your worst, your best of your best, and he said, worth it. And at Kids Church, we say the ABC of salvation, because why not? We admit that we're sinners. We cannot do life without God. B, we believe that Jesus died on the cross for us, for you. And C, we choose to live for him. So I'm going to pray right now, and you, everyone can close their eyes. And if you feel like you want to know more about God, you want to know more about this journey with God, I'm going to pray right now, and I want to encourage you. I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, and you can put up your hands in our auditorium, in the overflow, and even if you're online, please pop us a message. We would love to get in contact with you. So I'm going to count to 3. Be bold. If you know you need God, if you know you, maybe you've drifted away from God, be bold and take that step right now. All you have to do is put up your hand, as simple as that. 1, 2, 3. God, I thank you for every single person you are talking to right now, from our auditorium to our overflow room to online, God. I thank you, Lord, of whether we maybe don't know you, whether maybe we've drifted from you, God, maybe we have a great relationship with you, God. I pray you give every single one of us a new revelation of you right now, God. I thank you, Lord, you may bless the week ahead, God, because Sunday is the first day of the week. So I thank you, Lord, you're going to bless the week ahead, God, that we will only go from strength to strength, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, guys.
Come on, let's honor Kayla. Thank you so much. We have got an announcement coming at 8 o'clock from our president. And I just want to encourage you guys, whatever the announcement is, if he says we can't meet together, I encourage you to get online, to not neglect the meeting together as the church. And I encourage you to not get into a downcast state. Because it's in that place that you miss out on what God has for you. Scripture actually says that wisdom is so available to us. They say the fool gets knocked by wisdom in his head, and he sort of doesn't know what knocked him in the head. I know it's quite a funny picture, but I think in this season, God's blessing is going to knock you. And if you are grumpy, you won't know that the blessing's right in front of you. So why I'm telling you that is, if we stay joyful in the season, it says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And I promise you, God wants to strengthen you. He wants to bless you. And so if this is the third time we go into a lockdown where we can't meet together, let's make sure that the third time we do it the best, okay? Where we do church online the best we've ever done it. And so we just gang, every time they do that, we want to find a way to make it even better than we did before. We're not going to get grumpy. We're going to be grateful because the scripture says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God. That's God's will. So if you let the enemy start to determine your response, you're going to miss out on God's will for your life because God's already said, be grateful in all circumstances. So can we settle that? And you know what? Before we know it, we're going to be back together if there is regulations that are put in place that we can't meet together. Otherwise, we're going to be back. I want to honor everyone sitting in our social area, sitting outside, everyone who's sitting in parents' rooms. I want to honor you for making church priority, but we're going to be doing this. We're going to be back. Mark West did our first live worship this morning, so that location had 10 brand new people. It was growing. We've already secured our next location now officially, and that's on the Atlantic seaboard. That's in Camps Bay. We've actually secured Camps Bay High School for our next location. It's going to have the best views. I reckon a whole bunch of people are running to that location right now, like going, I'll serve there. I'll serve, you know what I mean? But by the end of this year, we're going to have a thriving church in Tableview, in Melkbos, in Camps Bay. And then we are currently working on the outside plans. We've already got 500,000 Rand that has been committed toward renovating our outside, which will be a double story, well, three stories high, but we'll put a mezzanine of glass wrapped in front of the building. We will also raise more money, but we're going to come out of this COVID season with the best restaurant area in the area with views of the bay. You know, in the highest point in Tailview. We're going to come out of this COVID season with a church in Melkbos that's thriving. We're going to come out of this COVID season with a church in Camps Bay. And then we're looking at Hout Bay. The reason I'm telling you this is I need you to stay focused on what the actual plan is. Don't get distracted. It's about building God's church. It's about being generous. God wants to bless your marriage. He wants to bless you as individuals. So I want to encourage you to do like Kayla said, stay planted in the house. Samuel, the greatest prophet, grew up in Eli's church. Eli's sons were dodgy as heck. Samuel still became the greatest prophet. He could have found the next church down the road that maybe had a better setup, but no, he knew that those who are planted flourish in and out of season. So we honor you, Kayla. Great message. The best way to fight, relationship with God, relationship with people, and stay planted in the church. Let's see what our president says. Let's pray for the country quickly. God, we just thank you for this nation. We thank you that this rainbow nation is a picture of heaven because this nation has got every tribe and every tongue. And one day in heaven, everyone is going to be there, every tribe, every tongue. And we believe the rainbow nation is a picture of heaven. Why would you overlook this nation? We know you will not. So even as a rainbow nation that we represent what heaven will look like, will you give us a touch of heaven? And not only will you give us a touch of heaven, a move of God and the gospel moving forward, but will you also heal our land? We submit to you now. We come under your authority. And even as we do have your authority, we take authority over COVID-19. We pray cases will drop, recovery will rise, and it will lose its momentum. I pray for strategy around vaccines, around opening this country. I pray for wisdom. And I also pray for political leaders who will be so for this nation, they'll be willing to give up their careers to save people's lives. And selfishness will leave this nation in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Have an awesome week.